Last hour of the week, then I'm going to bust out and head to Atlanta.
Atlanta.
For the Super Bowl. We'll be there all next week. It's going to be a tremendous week. All right, this hour, I've got the ATP. I've got the week that was. I'm trying to give away that last Masterbuilt smoker. We are coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Coming up next segment, UCLA Bruins gymnast, Caitlin Ohashi. You might have seen her video, which went viral last week. It was an amazing performance, a perfect performance, and her backstory is something else. We're going to run her down at about 15 or 20 minutes from right now. We are efforting the head coach of the LA Chargers, Anthony Lynn. He is at the Pro Bowl. And while I'm looking for that, I'm going to try and get somebody up in here to win the Masterbuilt Smoker. Let's go to Jeff in San Antonio. Y'all know him. Jeff, what's going on?
What is up, Jim? Happy 2019.
You too.
Just wanted to call and kind of remind everybody that, number one, I am a badass. And number two, that today is the anniversary, the birthday of baby Jordan. She was born a year ago today. And I just wanted to call and let everybody know that we're a badass family. And it'll be nice to have two Masterbuilt smokers, because your calls today have been horrible. It's obvious Adam Hawk's trying to go with this Horace Grant look to try and be a coat rider. What's up with him having a baby so close to Jordan's birthday? War my fiance, war me, and war Jordan. I'm out.
Rack him. He said, wow, there are so many things that are so right about that phone call. He said, happy 2019. I want to remind everybody listening that I'm a badass and that we have a badass family and that baby Jordan was born a year ago today. And what's with Hawk trying to gravy train us by having his child so close to baby Jordan's birthday? And he went with some Horace Grant smack in there. That was incredible. And it sets up our interview perfectly. Got him in right to our guest. We're joined right now by the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. Second season as Chargers head coach. He led them to the playoffs for the first time since 2013. He is coaching the AFC at the Pro Bowl. The Chargers were 12-4 this season. And again, a friend of the program, Anthony Lynn is my guest. Anthony, great to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Jim, it's good to be back, man.
How you feeling, Coach? What's up?
Sunny Orlando. That's Pro Bowl, you know. It's been kind of bittersweet. You know, we'd rather be playing. But I guess if we're not playing, this is a pretty good option. You know, we're down here with the league's done a hell of a job down here with this Pro Bowl. I mean, just entertaining our fans and making this thing as nice as possible for our families and just having the opportunity to coach some of these elite athletes, you know, best of our games. It's been pretty cool.
Anthony Lynn joining us. That's a great answer. I was going to say, you know, the Pro Bowl is a time for players to get together, for some guys maybe to pick each other's brains. As a head coach, can you also approach the week and the weekend as a learning experience, or basically are you there to have a good time and make sure nobody gets hurt?
You know, we're definitely making sure no one gets hurt because these practices are definitely not the tempo I was expecting. But these guys are having a good time and a lot of fans, you know. I've been to a couple in Hawaii, and I can definitely understand why they do it here in the United States now, because we get so many fans here, and I think that's good for our league and our players.
Anthony Lynn is at the Pro Bowl. He joins us now. You know, he mentioned it being bittersweet. After that loss to New England, you had said, quote, we had a good year, but after that butt-kicking, no one will be complacent. Everybody will be looking for ways to get better. So as you look back on the season, I'm curious, what kind of thoughts do you have? For instance, are you able to see the positives, or does the way the season ended leave a bitter taste in your mouth, and are you kind of focused on that?
Well, the bitter taste is definitely there. I'm not going to lie about that. You know, we didn't see that coming. You know, we picked the wrong damn day to play our worst game. But we learned, you know, we've already learned some things from that game, and I think we're going to be better because of that wrong. But if we had to lose a game in the playoffs, you know, if we'd have lost the game by 1 point overtime or something, we may be sitting here saying, you know, we're just a player or two away. We don't need to do anything. But, you know, the way that team jumped on us in that first half and then we gave ourselves no chance after the first half, you know, no one's going to be complacent. And the coaching staff, we've already, you know, we know there's some things, some adjustments, some things we can do better. The players, you know, players know that as well. So I like the focus right now, you know, going into the offseason. I like the mindset of the players. And just hopefully we can build off of what we did last year, because now I'm having a chance to reflect on the whole season and look at some of the positives. And, you know, we were 12-4. Guys did a good job of putting themselves in position, you know, to win it all. But we didn't get it done, but I think we can build off of that.
Hey, listen, you own that completely. That was a really honest answer, but there were a lot of positives in that season. You won 12 games, and the team showed a lot of grit and a lot of toughness and a lot of heart. As an example, Joey Bosa missed the first half of the season. Hunter Henry returned for the final game. Melvin Gordon missed time. Keenan Allen missed time. The list goes on, but you guys kept finding ways to win, especially on the road. So how do you explain your group's ability to take those hits and just keep on rolling?
You know, it speaks to the character of our locker room and our football team. And, you know, and Tom Telesco's done a nice job of, you know, bringing in the right players, you know, and bringing in what we need. And, you know, I can't say enough about our team's character. You know, the guys moved down from San Diego, and, you know, guys moving out, living out of boxes, you know, playing in a smaller stadium. These guys have approached that with a great attitude. And I believe because of their attitudes, it's made us more resilient. It's made us a tougher football team. And, you know, we don't want to use excuses or complain. We want to just go out and produce. And for the most part, I think our guys did that.
Anthony Lynn joining us from the Pro Bowl, the head coach of the LA Chargers. You know, you look at the situation with the coaches and guys losing their job and the trend towards the types of coaches that are getting opportunities. You know, there's been this move towards teams hiring guys who are associated with quarterbacks. You were a running backs coach before you became an offensive coordinator and then a head coach. 2 years into your time as a head coach, how much of it now is about just being able to run an offense as opposed to being a leader of an entire team?
You know, I unfortunately, you know, you see that trend, and I think you saw it this year. I've said it all along, and in every interview I was in, I was in 6 head coaching interviews, and I've said it, you know, it's a different skill set to be a head coach in this league than to be a play caller or a position coach. And I think we're missing out on some quality head coaches because of our criteria. You know, I was told I had to check all the boxes, you know. A couple of owners told me I need to be a coordinator before I be a head coach. I didn't believe that. I eventually became a coordinator, but now I see guys getting jobs that it's never called a play in the damn league. So I'm like, just be consistent, you know. But it's just, you know, that's, they have the right. It's their team. They can do whatever they want to do. But I still say that we're firing 8 head coaches a year. We need to look at the hiring process, and I think there are a lot of leaders out there that can be good head coaches and may never coordinate.
You know, and then on top of that, at the start of the season, there were 8 head coaches of color in the league. The number has changed dramatically since the start of the season. What is your reaction when you see that?
You know, I try to look at it as just coaches, Rome. Really, I do. I don't even like to talk about black coaches, white coaches. I just want to be a coach. And I look forward to the day and time when we look at it that way, everyone. But, you know, we're not there yet. And I don't know, you know. You look at the guys that got let go. You know, guys get let go every single year. White guys, black guys, and all my friends, and I call them, I say the same thing. You know, and wish them well, and they bounce back. But, you know, I just think this year, unfortunately, it happened to be more African-Americans than it was white coaches, you know?
Anthony Lynn joining us. He's the head coach of the LA Chargers. You know, I'm looking at your approach, though. Like, as part of leadership in the offseason, you and team psychologist Herb Martin developed a program where you had guys come together in small groups, and they discussed things like life, things like accountability. When did you start thinking about workshops like that, and what kind of an impact have they had? It's really interesting.
You know, I tell you, when Coach Walsh came and got me out of the locker room, and we talked about coaching one day, you know, I don't think I ever went into a player meeting the same. I always went in with probably more of a coach's mindset, and I just wrote down a lot of things that if I was a coach, what I'd do and what I wouldn't do. And I think one of the things we have to do a better job of in the offseason is, you know, we have to start getting our guys ready for life after football. And too many of us are failing after we're done with this game, and that's a shame because men that go through what we have to go through to play in this league, the work ethic, the discipline, the camaraderie, the relationships should be turning up out in the real world. And yet, I think 69-70% of us were failing after 4 or 5 years. So that in the off season, there are a lot of days when I talk to my guys about everything but football. I think, you know, the better man you are off the field, the better man you're going to be on the field. And I just know when you prepare for the next step in your life, you can enjoy this game a hell of a lot more. I know that. And that would solve a lot of our, you know, execution issues right there, just guys having fun. And when you make mistakes, letting it go and go on to the next play. But, you know, when guys are living and dying on one play here and there and think they're going to get cut, I mean, that's hard. That's a hard way to live, man.
Anthony Lynn, my guest. So finally then, I mean, you're so focused on what these guys need to do in the offseason to get as much out of themselves as men, right? Not just football players, but as men. So as the guy who leads the group, like, how do you approach your offseason? For instance, are you locked in 24/7, 365, or can you get away, unplug? And if so, what do you focus on?
You know, I'm locked in, man. I love what I do, and I focus on this. And in the offseason, like I say, it's a lot of football. Now, we get these guys for a lot of football, but I just think there are times when we have to just talk as men and get to know one another as men so that, you know, we don't know each other, we won't trust each other. And that's a fact. And we got to trust each other, and if we can trust each other, then we can play for one another, and we don't care who get the credit. And I think selfless is one of our core values, and our guys, they've completely bought into that. And they got, you know, and I think that builds, you know, trust. I mean, you can have healthy conflict on a football team and get the best ideals without people getting their feelings hurt. And so, you know, we strive for little things like that. You know, we all have the big stuff. You know, we got the same facilities. We all got the same salary cap. We all pick from the same elite pool of players. We got the best facilities in the world and all that. But, you know, I think it's the littlest things make the biggest difference in this league. And in off season, I think that's the time we can focus on those things.
I appreciate you and your time. Last thought, you're focused on your thing, but you got the big game coming up next week, so you know what the Patriots are all about. You saw that firsthand. Then you got your neighbor across the street in the Rams. How do you think that game goes? Who do you like?
You know, it's two good football teams. I mean, the Rams are extremely talented. You know, when you look at their roster, the first-round picks and the offensive player of the year and defensive player of the year and the number one pick in the draft, a quarterback, I mean, they have an extremely talented football team. But then you got Tom Brady, you know, and Coach Belichick over here, who's been there and done it. So I can't make any, you know, I don't have any opinion on who's going to win the game. I just know the team that executes the best, the team is going to win. I have friends on both sides of the ball, so I wish them both well.
Chargers went to the postseason for the first time since 2013. He's getting a lot of attention as a potential coach of the year. They were 12-4, and he is at the Pro Bowl leading the AFC squad. Anthony Lynn, my guest. Coach, you know I appreciate you and the relationship. Thank you very much. Great to have you back.
Thanks for having me on. Okay.
Good talking to you, Anthony. Very much. Anthony Lynn is a strong leader, man. Love talking to him. I always make sure I'm ready to talk to everybody I talk to. But then there's that short list of guys that you really want to be dialed in for because they ain't going to put up with it. Strong, strong leader. Great coach. Tough, tough guy. Much respect. There's a lot of jungle respect for Anthony Lynn. And my thanks to him for doing that and the LA Chargers, who are awesome to work with, who helped make that happen too. When we come back, let me change up on you. On a Friday, we'll be joined by, you probably saw the video of a UCLA Bruins gymnast, Caitlin Ohashi. It went viral last week. It was an amazing perfect performance, and her backstory is something else too. That's coming up next. I'm still looking to give away that Masterbuilt smoker. I have not done that yet. Alvy's week that was. The ATP, all still ahead. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Once again, my thanks to LA Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn. Joining us from the Pro Bowl, we switch up now on a Friday. We are joined by a UCLA gymnast, a 2018 NCAA team champion, a 2018 NCAA co-champion on floor, a 2018 Pac-12 co-champion on floor. She is a six-time All-American. She scored a perfect 10 in the floor routine at the 2019 Collegiate Challenge in Anaheim. UCLA going up against Stanford on Sunday, 4 p.m. Pacific time. Caitlin Ohashi is my guest. Caitlin, so nice to meet you. Good to have you on the show. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Thanks for having me. Really nice to have you. You know, I'm so happy to talk to you because it's been nearly 2 weeks since you had that perfect 10 floor routine in Anaheim that absolutely blew up online. We've been talking about it being international news. You're getting love from all over the world, from members of Congress, from my friend Jemele Hill. The list goes on and on. I've got to ask, what has your life been like the last 2 weeks?
It's been crazy. I feel like I've been in interview after interview. My social media has been like through the roof. You know, honestly, I've only got recognized a couple times, but I do see a couple people like looking at me funny. But no, it's been really cool, and I'm grateful for everything.
Yeah, it's really so neat. And that was your fourth career perfect 10 on the floor. Now, whenever I have an elite athlete on the show like you and they do something truly special, I always ask the question, did you know going into the event that you had something special in you that day? What was your sense going into that?
Oh my gosh, going into it was super funny because that was my first time doing the split AA in the competition. And I was honestly like, okay, just try and make it. And so, you know, like I didn't have too much expectations going in. I was just going to have fun and perform and it all came together that day, I guess.
I want to make sure that the listeners understand that. I mean, the story was, and you just said it, you changed your first tumbling pass that week to the split double layout, and then you nailed it. What was it like to nail that thing on a big stage like that? And as you look back on the routine, what else do you remember?
I just remember, like, after I hit that pass, and then my second pass was, I upgraded this year. And so it was really cool to, like, after that pass, the second pass, everything was like perfect and spot on. And so I was like, okay, this is going to be fun. Like I was just, you know, clapping with the audience and having a good time out there. And I remember like the audience would get really loud at times and then really quiet. And it was like, they were super engaged. And it was a really cool feeling.
Caitlin Ohashi joining us. Is it like a lot of other athletes talk about when things are like, when you're in the zone, was it all in slow motion? What did it feel like?
No, I wouldn't say slow motion. I think, you know, it was just like any floor team. Like I was just, you know, I don't even know. I just going through the motions, but like just enjoying myself, honestly.
I mean, I absolutely, right? It looked like you were having the time of your life. People watching were having so much fun. Do you have any idea when you left the floor what the reaction was going to be like online? And then as this thing started to gain momentum and started to get bigger and bigger and bigger, faster and faster, what was that like?
Yeah, I had no idea leaving the floor that anything like that was going to happen. So last year, my routine went viral too, and we were just kind of trying to up this one with joyful music and more intricate dancing. And so when it wasn't televised or anything, our videographer, Deanna, decided to put it online through UCLA Gymnastics, and I was ice skating at the time when my phone was like blowing up on Twitter, and I was just like, why are my notifications going off? Like typically I have them turned off, and it was crazy. So then I start realizing like people are sending me screenshots and like this person's tweeting you and like all this. So yeah, I wasn't expecting all of that attention, but especially so soon, because that was the second meet of the year.
Right, and your phone's going crazy, but then you get like, how about Janet Jackson? Janet Jackson retweets the video with, quote, amazing 10-10-10. What did it mean to see that?
Oh, my gosh. I had to sit down for that one. That one, it's like, what? Like, she was literally a lot of the inspiration behind the routine. So just the fact that she even noticed it and said something about it was so crazy. Like, such high-profile people noticing, I don't know, a UCLA gymnast, me.
UCLA gymnast Caitlin Ohashi is my guest. I want to say one of my favorite things of all, though, one of my favorite parts of this was to see every single one of your teammates in the background doing the routine right along with you, and they're just as happy, if not happier, for you than even you, maybe, when you nailed it. How would you describe the bond that you have with that team, and what's it like being part of that group?
Oh, my gosh. It's such a team dynamic thing, and like coming from elite where you are mostly an individual, it's like crazy. And to have that support, because it's like no matter what happens, they always have your back, and we always do it for each other, and the love, and it's amazing to be a part of something like that.
That was really fun to see. Now, the thing is, if you look at the performance in a vacuum, that'd be worthy of this conversation or a lot of the interviews you've done, but there's so much more that goes into it. That was not in a vacuum. As you point out, that was not your first 10 on the floor. You had that monster routine last year against Oklahoma that also was amazing. But I think what people are now appreciating is your journey. If you go back a few years, you were on the national team at 12. You were an Olympic hopeful. You seemed to have everything. But how were you feeling at that point? Did you love gymnastics then?
No, I think throughout that whole entire portion of my gymnastics career, I had lost my joy through the sport, and I honestly didn't like it at all. I felt like I was doing it for everyone else besides myself. So I went through a really hard time, and that's kind of when I got injured and took a step back and got to really, like, rediscover my love for the sport again after, like, a full year of being out. And that's when I decided, like, switch my career and, like, goal path, just because my body honestly couldn't even handle anything else if I wanted to. So, yeah, it was a blessing in disguise.
So the time off was great, but also at that time, people were talking about your weight. And in a piece for the Players Tribune, you said that you were told that it was embarrassing how big you had become, and you were actually compared to a bird that couldn't fly. I mean, what a terrible, terrible thing for somebody to hear, much less somebody that age. At that age, what was it like to hear things like that?
I definitely believed it. I think as an impressionable young girl, everything I heard, I would take in and I would absorb, and I hated even looking in the mirror at that point. I felt ashamed, and yeah, I definitely would have agreed to everything everyone was saying to me and about me. So it was really, really tough.
All right, so you kept battling, and you tried to play through and fight through the injuries, and then as you point out, you did step away finally. You need that time off, and you went to college, and maybe there were some around you who were not thrilled with that decision, but you had to do what you had to do for you, and then the joy started to come back, right? How did the joy return? What was that like? How'd you rediscover the joy?
I would say after my freshman year and going through that whole adapting to college and realizing that my coaches were on my side, like Miss Bao was a huge part of me, like finding my joy again. She allowed me to discover me as a person before an athlete, and it took off this pressure from gymnastics. And I was able to come back and feel like I was validated as more than just this gymnast. And that meant so much to me, and the fact that she would like hang out with me and just ask me about how I was doing. That's the thing, right?
So the final thought then, I mean, let's be clear about this too. Your coach, Valerie Condos Field, who is an absolute legend, to your point, does not just talk about gymnastics. She talks about living a powerful and successful life. So then what's it been like to hear the impact that you've had on people in the last 2 weeks, and not just because of your floor routine, but because of who you are and how you live?
I think it's really neat, because never would I have imagined all of this. And it's kind of like I've been living my life trying to find the passion that I have for everything outside of gymnastics. And it's kind of just opened a lot of doors. And it's super exciting that I'm not just seen as a gymnast, because that's what I feel like I've been like trying to work on, not being an athlete. And it's really inspiring to see that other people see that as well.
The performance in and of itself is absolutely an amazing thing to see. To see you execute that, to see the kind of joy you experienced, especially given where you started, where you had to come from. And then, of course, the bigger picture is there's so much more to me than just that. The whole story is amazing, and what an amazing couple of weeks it's been. The future is extremely bright. Caitlin, so nice to meet you, so nice to talk to you, and I really appreciate you making the time for it.
Thank you so much. Good talking to you.
You too. Caitlin Ohashi. If you haven't seen this, and I'd be shocked if you hadn't, because everybody has, it's an amazing thing to see. Her performance is absolutely amazing, and hard to cover an entire story like that in 10 minutes or less, but from where she was when she was 12 and an Olympic hopeful and injured and taking a step away to come back and have the career she's had, and then even then to say what's most gratifying is I don't want to be known only as an athlete. There's more to me than that. What a great conversation. All right, my thanks to Caitlin. When we come back, one last segment. It's going to include The Week That Was, edited by Alvy. The Ask the Pros, edited by Friday is a big ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Check it out. We heard from the BIC earlier this week. Now we hear from the VIC. He's a former Smackoff champ, Victor by Broadway. Vic, what's up?
What's up, man? Hey, this thing with Joe Montana building a marijuana empire, I mean, damn, are we talking about Joe Montana or Tony Montana? You know, this definitely puts a whole new light on that legendary story about him pointing out John Candy at the Super Bowl, you know? I mean, we used to think that was proof of cool Joe being totally calm under pressure, you know, but now it probably just means he was high on the tree. Oh, bro, check it out, man. That's like totally John Candy up in the stands, bro. Hey, man, hey, Sapolo, check it out, dude. Isn't that awesome, man? Dude, I'm hungry, man. Anybody got some Pringles? I mean, no wonder the guy was pimping Skechers and Papa John's. That's what Ira Joe does all day. He just sits around in Skechers, eating pizza and playing Madden. You know, Rome, I'm so freaking tired of these crying-ass New Orleans Saints, man. You know, now they're trying to invoke some obscure rule where the commissioner can, like, start the game back up with 2 minutes left. Come on, man. To quote Avon Barksdale from The Wire, you talking about a do-over, baby? A freaking do-over? You can't do that, man. That's not the way the game is played. Look, Saints fans, in Week 16 against the Steelers, you got over on a horrible 50-yard interference call against Joe Hayden, and that helped you win the game and get home field advantage so you wouldn't have to go on the road to the Coliseum, all right? So stop bitching about a bang-bang play. You didn't get screwed. There's no guarantee your kicker wasn't going to hit the upright or you weren't going to fumble the snap. So you got what you deserved. You are what your record says you are, which is second place in the NFC. That's pretty good. I mean, it's just so delusional for these guys to think they're owed anything more than that, you know? Kind of like as delusional as that Muppet Rick in Buffalo talking smack about the Patriots. Okay, think about this, Rome. Here we have a Buffalo Bills fan calling a radio show to run weak smack on New England right after they made their ninth Super Bowl of this generation. What a moron. But hey, that's the guy's entire brand, though, you know? I mean, his whole shtick is hating on things that are vastly superior to him and then hanging up the phone and heading on over to Twitter all satisfied like he just got over or something. You're not getting over, Bonk. You're a fat 50-year-old junior high teacher in Buffalo with a giant head, dude. You're not getting over. Okay, I mean, Rome, did you see the pictures of that Buffalo convention of dorks that Rick organized at the Sabres game? Jesus, man. Yeah, what a collection of winners that was. I mean, Rome, you know I love your show. I got your back. But I finally, and you know, speaking of guys being...
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Vic, I was boxing up the smoker. I was boxing it up, sending it to you. In fact, it was halfway to your house. Come on, man. There's no need for that. You could have made your point without saying it like that. You could have made your point without saying it like that. Vic in NoCal. You know he didn't want the smoker or he would have gotten the smoker. What a beef that is. That's a great and legendary jungle beef right there. Rick in Buffalo and Vic in NoCal. All right, so somebody, if I have time to get to somebody else, you might in fact rip the smoker that he'd already won. In the meantime, Alvy, I know you put in a lot of time. Let's take a look back at the week that was. Welcome to the jungle. A very good Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. I hope you had an amazing weekend. Great to be with you on the league's biggest stage. The refs choked. They choked hard. Why don't we start with the most obvious and egregious disaster from the Zebras? Go ahead. Roll it.
Where's the flag?
I know that being an NFL official is hard. It's nearly impossible. But you simply cannot miss that call.
Simple. They blew the call.
You can't miss that call. Give them the help they need or take it all away. What you're doing right now is not working.
The referee blew that whole game.
Redo it at the interference call.
I want to hear from somebody who watches the Canadian Football League. Manitoba! Regina! Moose Jaw! Winnipeg! Oh, Maurice. The San Jose Sharks wondered if there was Wi-Fi in Winnipeg.
I don't know if they ever fly into Winnipeg to go shopping, but if you're looking to have a good life, a great place to raise your family.
The Dynasty!
You got any touchdown plays on that call sheet still? He said, yes, I do.
Hey-oh! The Pats are done when Tom and the Hood say they're done. Same damn Pats. Ian O'Connor is the senior writer for ESPN.
I think it's the greatest dynasty in American sports in my lifetime.
Ethan Happ is my guest. What is the college experience in Madison like?
If you want him to have a great 4 years or 5 years, maybe it turns
four,
out
bro.
There's no other place that I think I would have looked at. Too much fun to pass up.
I tried to inform my dad that I'd be taking a fifth year, and he's like, oh, hell no.
Oh, hell
I literally
no.
said to my father, it's not like you can't afford it. Wrong answer. answer, Junior. Seriously, right?
Email.
Alvin, you are the father.
Alvin,
you are the father. Alvin, you are the father. Alvin, you are the father. Sign Morey.
I didn't look back at the ball. Since I just went straight to him, I just heard the crowd go crazy, and I was like, oh, this
dude
is
dude was depleted. At least five Mississippis before the ball actually arrived.
And I ain't going to watch the Super Bowl.
On Tuesday, that's still the only thing anybody's talking about.
The ref said it was incomplete. Respect the call.
Twitter.
I can't get my pass interference. I can't get my PI call. How come I'm getting hit in the head? I can't get a commissioner rule change. Where's the commissioner? Where's Roger Goodell?
I'm getting snot bubbles.
Welcome to the friggin' National
Football League.
Circumcision, it's your decision.
O-L-D-E-R-U-D. John Olderud. This place is like a prison. The fellow inmates around me are making a lot of noise.
It's Carmelo Anthony.
Oh. It is Carmelo Anthony and cash. That is one step removed from just throwing this guy up on Craigslist. Man, life comes at you fast.
Are you kidding me?
Clay Thompson.
Sean Langston, my guest. Video game Clay going 10 of 10 for him going up for four dunks.
Man, I'm going to go with video game Clay.
Ridiculous.
I'm still wondering what that protein stain by the headboard is. I've been on Broadway. And I'm playing Povich's 70th birthday party. Are you kidding me?
What the hell happened?
Yeah, what the fuck happened?
From Torrey Pines Golf
Charlie
Course
Hoffman joins me. The plan was a rock of big old long mullet, stick out a little bit.
One more thought about that ride.
It was horrible. How'd you get the Dodge Colt? Where'd you get that info?
Pat, I want to remind you, this is not your show. This is not my podcast. No F-bombs, nothing like that.
That's going to be tough for me.
I was going to say, you're going to be all right.
It'll be tough. So it's 44 North Huckleberry Vodka, and I mix it with Sunny D, and it's like drinking Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, getting into it, whatever, you know. Now I'm kind of like into it, right?
My man, Mike Smith, joining me. What was shared belief like? As a horse, was he in the conversation with the best that you've ridden?
Oh, without a doubt. And again, we didn't get to see the best of him. He was a fighter.
Email.
Hey, Bob, you smug, fake, baking kook. Your horse should have been DQ'd, and you know it.
The fans want to bury them in a hole. It should have been St. Paul with first and goal. Instead, the Rams go to the Super Bowl because of five blind refs.
Ah!
That little turd
Edelman.
The only t-shirt that bitch should be wearing should say, without Tom Brady, I'd be a waiter.
Pencils down, bitches.
Twitter.
Does Widow Wiki in Buffalo need a baba?
I don't know if Keith Arnold's been doing a lot of stress eating, but does that guy have bitch tits now?
And who's the new guy in the corner? That kid looks like Paulie D from the Jersey Shore.
Woo! I was even at Reggie Miller's last game with a 100-degree fever flu because I wanted to see Reggie Miller.
Caleb, did you just say that you played through a 100-degree flu?
We put the Brady Bunch through their arms.
Stickiest of the ickiest.
Or being a master-built smoker.
Tom Curran, if Brady were to win, would that impact his decision-making?
I don't think it's going to. I think he's having too much fun. I truly think he is going to stick around.
Oh, my God. Did he lose that one,
dude,
too?
Dude,
busted. No. Oh, my God. Wasn't it great?
You want to make a 2-week absence look like a 1-week absence by showing up on Friday?
Oh, that's not going to work, Hawk. That's not how that looks. And the other thing is, you're not scoring points with me, and I'm the only one who matters.
I know.
So what are you doing here?
What were you doing there?
Anthony Lynn is my guest.
We didn't see that coming. We picked the wrong damn day to play our worst game. But we learned, and I think we're going to be better because of that wrong.
Caitlin Ohashi is my guest. How about Janet Jackson?
Oh, my gosh. I had to sit down for that one. That was... It's like, what?
War my fiance. War me. You horse-tooth jackass. You're a fat 50-year-old junior high teacher in Buffalo with a giant head, dude.
Get it freaking right.
All right, Jim. Thanks. Anytime, man. Thanks so much, Jim. Always great talking to
stay
you.
Stay humble and stay hungry.
Ram 41, Patriot 10.
Hey, Four Eyes.
Billy Clarkson.
Mac.
Come up with a shot for you right here.
5-year penalty.
Jonathan Ray.
Good night now!
Alanda! That was so good, Alvin. That was so good. And I left time on the back end because I still have to give away the smoker because Vic had it and gave it back to me. My man Mike in Albuquerque. He started the trend. He was the first one to get the Rome tattoo. Not the show logo. He's got me. Like my head, the suit, the whole thing. He's parlayed that tattoo into his own brand and his own show. Let's go to the ABQ. Mike, brother, what's up? How are you?
Devil in the box. What is up? Happy New Year to you, man.
You too, bro. What's going on? How are you?
I'm good. Hey, real quickly. So last year, I wanted to let you know, buddy of mine named Roman and I opened up a music and a coffee shop here in the ABQ, and still doing the radio show on the Sports Animal. Want to avoid that for sure.
Good man.
But we also started a podcast, and we did an interview just a few weeks ago with Rex Brown, of all people, man. And I heard Rex Hoggard, and we talked about the Rex streak with Rex, and he remembered that, man, gave you some love. I told him I had the tattoo, and he kind of chuckled about it. And he I don't know if it was hippie lettuce or what. He kept on bringing up Jimmy Connor for some reason versus Jim Everett and Chris Everett, all that craziness. But it was pretty awesome, man. So I want to just kind of ask if I can respectfully plug our podcast. You go to risemusicandcoffee.com, and you can click on there, and you can hear Rex Brown on there, man. It's really awesome.
Oh, bro, you know that. You can look, man, you plug me by wearing that ink every single day. So you can plug anything you want on this show, Mike, anytime you want. You know that. So check out his podcast. Nice job, Mike. Let me keep moving because I'm at the end of the hour. Good talking to you, bro. Happy New Year. Rex Brown. He was with Pantera back in the day. And check out Mike in Albuquerque's podcast. And check out his shop if you're in Albuquerque. Let's go to Fabian in L.A. You know.
You know. Hey, doggy dog, Rome. Right now, a little while ago, you were talking about Montana, Herb, and the whole thing, you know, and I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was like Daryl Strawberry that, you know, he was talking about, that weed was kind of like the gateway drug or something, you know, and it's like, you know what, Romy? I don't know how you guys want to take this, but I've been smoking weed for over 30 years, pretty much on a daily damn basis, unless that one time that I kept you updated like 180 something days. Dude, it's like, you know what? People that go from that to other kind of drugs, I've never in my life ever done anything else, dude. It hasn't even crossed my mind. That's like for weak-minded people, you know? And it's messed up. I was telling Hawk, you know, was that? Whoops, I thought I heard you say something.
No, anyway, you're good. Go ahead.
You know, okay, I'll be right there, bro. Damn, I'm working. I got a delivery to make. Anyways, I guess I'll let you guys go, you know, and I'll bug on Monday. Hey, I'm giving you another heads up. What you mean, thanks for the warning, bro? Hey, have a good weekend. It's a beautiful weekend, bro. And how about a little picnic, bro?
All right, so Fabian. He said to me, I don't know how you're going to take this, but I've been smoking weed pretty much daily for 30 years. Fabian, bro, I appreciate you. You know this. You know this. And I would never say right here what I wouldn't say to your face. You know that too. And I hope you appreciate this. My man, but you are the man who went to an appearance in San Diego yet could not find your way back to LA. You are the man who got cut off by that same bar by noon. You know that, right? You're the one who was breaking knuckles all day long with fist bumps. Neep! You're my man, Fabian. Have a great weekend, bro. You're right. It's really nice. Huge call brought to you by Masterbuilt. Big game is next weekend. Do not spend that game by babysitting your grill. Get a Masterbuilt smoker. Let the smoker do all the work for you. You will love how simple it is to produce award-winning grub every single time. The winner of the Masterbuilt. Nooch!
Or being a Masterbuilt smoker.
You're both, Nooch. You are a Masterbuilt smoker, and now you have a Masterbuilt smoker. Best content wins, he gets it. For tips, recipes, and information, go to Masterbuilt.com. I will be in Atlanta all next week. It's getaway day. So when you next hear me, it will be from Atlanta on Monday. See you then. Have a great weekend. We're out.